Are you ready to podcast? That's not wrong intro. Hey guys, welcome to the Evan and Caitlin podcast.
There today. We go. That's the right intro. Oh, sorry. I interrupted you. Oh, no.
Today we're talking about imposter syndrome. We're also going to be doing some life updates, and that's it.
We have a very interesting thing of the week also, which we'll get to later.
So, first off, we can touch on some what's news.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just passed 700,000 subscribers on our main YouTube channel.
It's very exciting.
Which is super exciting.
Yeah. I changed we have a little sign, like a little marquee, little light up sign in our living room. I changed it this morning to say 700K instead of 690K. We changed it every 10K and we do a little like happy dance.
So thank you all for your support over on our main channel. Also, we've been able to grow the gaming channel. Like, the gaming channel is growing really great. Just time to celebrate lots of things. We have 5 gaming editors now. Yep. I'm not sure if we've said that on the podcast. That's kind of crazy to me that has grown so much. And sometimes we even release 3 videos per week over at the gaming channel, which is something that I never really would consider us doing. And if you think about it, Caitlin, some days we release 5 videos per week. Podcasts? Some weeks, yeah. We do a podcast, 3 gaming videos, and the main channel video, and also all the uncut. So sometimes we're releasing like 8 videos in a week, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And because the podcast is only every other week, and right now the main channel is only every other week, sometimes it might be only 6 videos.
Yeah, sometimes like 3 edited ones and 3 other uncut ones. But it's really interesting adding all of that to our life. I know there's kind of an unplanned side tangent that we're having right now, but We've gotten some questions about like why we're doing gaming instead of like more main channel videos. And it's really just because that's what we have a lot of fun with. And we really want to like stay ahead of burnout. And it's just
That we don't have fun with the main channel videos. Yeah. We obviously have a lot of fun with those too. But it's like each one of those takes so much extra work and adds so much extra stress as well, because that's like where all of our commitments are. Whereas the gaming's very flexible, and because we do things like hire out the editing, and it only takes us a few hours, you know, to make the content that gets edited or gets put up. So
it's a great input versus output ratio for us.
Yeah, so we have fun with both, but I think the difference is with the main channel, there's also stress, and with the gaming channel, there's not really any stress. And so it's been really fun for us to be able to do a little bit more gaming than we used to do in the past. And it means like we're not, you know, making as much because we're not doing as many main channel videos.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, so our income has gone down some.
Short term financially, it makes no sense.
Our growth on the main channel has slowed a little bit because we're not, you know, we're not posting as much. So you don't have as many videos going out there. But it makes us really happy. And we have been feeling a lot less stress than we did last year or the year before that or the year before that. So it feels like we're on a good path. And I mean, this is, again, I'm just going deeper down the side tangent, but last night we were talking about how like it seems like there's 2 very challenging periods of like life as someone putting stuff on YouTube. One is that the very initial period where you're trying to get your feet under you and trying to get that like initial little boost of growth.
Yep.
Is so hard. But the other really hard period is just not burning out. And we've constantly been trying to like preemptively prevent that.
We've had periods where we have recognized that if we keep this up, we will so burn out. Mm-hmm. Like we understand so completely how it's possible and how a lot of people get there, because also we are in a very lucky position. We realize that, and with that lucky position comes so many great opportunities, and it's hard and weird to turn down good opportunities when other people don't have those opportunities. I almost feel guilty like turning some of these down for the sake of our own health. It's like, well, I should just do everything because I'm lucky and I'm in this position to just do more and more and more. But then you can so lose it and then just crash and burn. Mm-hmm. So pacing.
Yeah. So pacing that's important. That's all part of the reason why we've slowed down the main channel a little bit.
Yes. But going back to our main topic and going a little bit back into the past, we wanted to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome, and specifically maybe Caitlin can touch on some of her concerns there. But I think one of the reasons why we haven't talked about it up until now is because now I feel like, and Caitlin, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's had a much better place.
Yeah.
We don't want to, like, this to be the Evan and Caitlin complain podcast. We kind of want to wait until things are at a better place. Then we can tell stories of when things weren't as good. And now how they're better. Now it's like a complete story with the conflict and resolution instead of just saying, things are tough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. And I think imposter syndrome is something like that a lot of people can relate to no matter what you do. You know, like it could be you're at a position at work and you're like, do other people know that I don't know what I'm doing? Because I don't know what I'm doing, you know? And so I think it's like a very relatable thing, even though we have a job that's like not a typical job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's probably... Stop texting me, people. Why is my phone buzzing? So I think this is something that affected me more than it affected you back in the day. At least the specific reason that I felt imposter syndrome.
Yeah, the specific reason. So why don't you touch on that?
So I... used to, and I still maybe do a little, I still do some, but it was worse in the beginning. But when we first started our channel, I felt a lot of imposter syndrome, like as a maker, because I felt like more than most people, I didn't really know what I was doing. Like I was pretty skilled in, like, you know, advanced crafting, and I was decent at kind of like home improvement type stuff, like things like patching drywall and painting a room and, you know, things like that, where it's not doesn't require as like fine skill. But when we started our maker channel and we were doing woodworking and using power tools and stuff like that, I was pretty much brand new to that when we started our channel.
Well, I think one thing that's interesting to touch on, because what we're making are videos, and I think mm-hmm. that in terms of how you thought about our business and everything, you never felt like things were uneven there or imposter syndrome in terms of like creating content, right? Because you were the major part of that. I mean, you were more than 50% of us making content, because we were both on screen, but then you were doing all the editing.
Yeah, but that didn't really, like, factor into my imposter syndrome, because, like, the audience doesn't know who's editing. Could be neither of us, for as far as they know. They don't know, like, you know, unless you explicitly say it, people don't know how long that takes or how much time that is. And it's still different. And the imposter syndrome I felt wasn't about, like, oh, I don't feel like an equal part of this channel. It was more like, I feel like I'm portraying myself as knowing what I'm doing more than I actually do.
Oh, should we touch on, I think we can do a whole episode on collaborations, but like, I think that the thing that stressed Caitlin out the most is that, like, if we were in a collaboration moment and she was asked to do something that she wasn't comfortable with, she didn't feel as comfortable as I felt saying, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, which is weird. Because I should have felt totally comfortable saying, I don't know how to do that. I think it was more like, I felt like there would be so many more things that I would not know how to do than you. Hmm. So, like, you know, if, let's say we're doing a collab, which is the reason I like thought about it a lot in collabs, is because you're in a situation out of your control. Like, if Evan and I were filming something and I was like, you know, how come every time I drill it, it's crooked, like I can't get a good sight on it, like how come how do I drill straight, or you know, whatever the thing is, I could ask him a super basic question. He could give me some tips. We'll pause the camera. He could give me some tips. I could do some practice ones, and then I could do it on the real thing. And that's how I was learning. Like, I was literally learning on the job. I had not really used a drill. Like, I mean, maybe I've done some, like, sloppy drilling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, nothing in, like, a fine woodworking piece or, like, a piece of furniture.
Well, it's interesting because, like, when in terms of our woodworking experience, we were equal. Equally zero. Pretty much. I mean, we had done the love letters and we had done a little bit. But, yeah. I mean, like, at my jobs, I'd used tools. But in terms of woodworking, I hadn't.
But I feel like there's still, like in use of tools, there are things that carry over between tools.
Yeah, like how to hold things and
yeah how to there's just like a lot of basics things, that you take for granted. It's just like with video games. If you're an experienced gamer, and if you have an experienced gamer and a non-experienced gamer, and you put them down in front of a brand new game, the experienced gamer is going to intuitively know, like, oh, that on the bottom left, that's probably my health. Okay, I need to keep an eye on that.
And you press all the buttons and intuitively figure and it all out. Intuitively,
you're going to know that, like, oh, the right joystick is probably what changes the camera angle.
Yeah.
Even if no one told you that.
And you can probably, like, learn the timings of when to dodge, whereas, like, someone who's never done it, it might be harder. Because, like, you're kind of, like, retuning the skills you already know to a different circumstance as opposed to learning the skills fresh. I totally see what you mean.
There's like a little bit of that. Yeah. But yeah, the reason like with collabs it was so much more stressful is we were doing a collab with someone who was always in every case a skilled maker who like did their thing, and I felt like I, you know, when we were doing videos I would lean heavily on Evan for like the actual physically like making of things, and in a collaboration I can't just be like, hey, Evan, this person wants me to use this. I've never done that. How do I do it? Can we pause and can everyone wait for me to learn? You know, so that was a big stress. And I think that's one reason why I stressed more about collabs than you.
Side note about collabs. Everyone we've done collabs with have been amazing teachers. Oh my gosh.
No, like we learned so much. All been really good. Like I would never expect that I'd be like using a dang power hammer that could smash me.
Yeah.
You know? And like,
I mean, we don't want to list every single person, but even on the woodworking side, when we were with Johnny Brooks,
oh my gosh,
both of us learned so much about like routers and like all like a bajillion things.
And when we were in a position where like I didn't know something, and like the person we were collaborating with, like Johnny, was like, teach me how to do like the like plunge router
and stuff. Like,
it was awesome. Learned some really, really cool things. Like my fear was kind of, it was in my head.
I had a little bit of fear working with the power hammer. I was just worried I was going to go up to it and it was going to slam down and the metal was going to go flying everywhere.
I was worried about that too.
I think that a little bit of like one reason why we might have a little bit of a difference here. Some of it, I think some part of it is the things that you've touched on already. How I might have had a little bit more experience with tools in general from my engineering jobs and the prototyping I did there. But I think another part of it is a little bit of personality.
Yeah.
I kind of just like go into things, jump into things, don't overthink things a lot. I'm like the opposite. Things will probably work out. I mean, I just have this unwarranted confidence in a lot of things that I do.
Yeah.
And Caitlin likes...
I don't have that.
...to know that things are going to turn out okay.
I need a plan.
And she likes to have the whole thing planned, and she likes to... You know, Caitlin was a straight-A student.
Yes.
And I was just like, I think I'm good enough for this. You know, I'll just wing it. I'll see how things turn out.
I think another thing... Because, again, I feel like a lot of it is... when it comes to making stuff, like the parts that I would feel imposter syndrome for, a big one was just like using tools. Another one was with the design, because you also did all the 3D modeling and I could help sketch something, and I feel like I do help with like the aesthetics of like and the design, but like with the tools, I think another part of that is that you have an inherent interest in tools and gadgets and gizmos. And like
toys.
I like a thing to work and I appreciate features that benefit me, but I don't get as like excited about it.
You're not as much of a tool gremlin.
I am not as much of a tool gremlin. And so like I think you would naturally like do more research and play with it more and learn it, and I would just be more like, okay, I'll just use it to do the thing. Oh, that one was good. Or, oh, that one was bad. You know, like, oh, I like that tool. I don't like that tool. But I wouldn't spend as much time like learning it or doing research or comparing. And so like, it was just kind of like, oh, hand me whatever drill you decided we need.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there's two things that have really helped.
Mm-hmm.
One, I think you can talk about how we've shifted focus of our videos. Because that's something that you really helped guide us with, which I think was really good.
Yeah.
In terms of like DIY to watch us do this and learn with us.
Well, they're both DIY.
They're both DIY.
You mean like instructional versus entertainment?
Instructional versus entertainment. Yeah. But I think there's still learning value in watching our videos in a way, but it's not as much. I think that in our beginning videos, the way that most people in our space did it is they did instructions. They're mm-hmm. like, do this, do this, do this, do this, use this, don't use that, or whatever.
So that's what we did, too.
That's what we did, and I think that made you uncomfortable because you were saying words that you didn't truly believe.
Yeah, well, it's not that I didn't believe
you,
them.
You're like, yeah, like
I was saying words without the confidence of knowing, like, is this truly the best way to do that? Or, like, Evan's the one that figured that out, but because we're trying to balance who's doing the voiceover and who's using the tools 50-50 on screen, yeah. I'm the one saying it and demonstrating it, but it was like Evan just spent 20 minutes figuring it out while I edited some clips.
Yeah, and, you know? And that often, like, because when we started this, it was such a, like, 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. type operation. Oftentimes, you know, it'd be after work, it'd be after all of our other responsibilities were done, and we are fitting it into those really tiny parts. And Caitlin is the person that edits our videos really well, and that's what makes, like, more than almost anything, I think the edit is the most important part of our videos. The edit and the idea. Because so much is crafted in the edit. But mm-hmm. because I wanted to give Caitlin all of the time possible to edit and remove stress from her plate, I would do a lot of the pre-research. I'd do a lot of prepping, priming, and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd bring Caitlin up to speed. And I think one thing that really gave me some insight into how you felt is when we did the first Wonder Woman cosplay. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did, because we reversed.
We reversed.
Roles somewhat. Not fully, because like you weren't editing.
Yeah.
But
I remember I was doing something high priority.
You were working. You're probably like prepping for the next project or something.
That might have been when I was freelancing and I had a lot of freelance work.
Yeah, but when we did the Wonder Woman cosplay, which we still haven't finished and may never finish, but the headband and the bracers, that was one that like I was super excited about. So instead of what we normally do, which is like Evan would kind of do the research, figure out what we need, I was doing that, and then I would like communicate to him what we needed, and that kind of gave us a sense of like I was able to feel the frustrations he might feel of like feeling like I'm having to instruct every like part of it, and you were feeling the frustrations I might feel of like coming in and feeling a little bit lost, you know?
Yeah, I think that
we got a lot better with like
we got so much better. Yeah, we got so much better at communicating after that. I mean, I think that some people like view our relationship. We've seen like you guys must have fights. This isn't like your personality. This really is us. I mean, you can watch like an 8-hour stream of us playing Minecraft. Like, you know, it's like sometimes when we do our live streams, we come in with high energy, but after 8 hours, there is like no veneer or polish on us anymore. Yeah, like that's just how we are. But I mean, there have been moments where we have been stressed and where this job that we love has caused us stress. And honestly, the most stress this job has ever caused us is in the first year and a half of making videos. At the very beginning of the video, prepping it, getting it on the same page, like figuring out the messaging, all of that. Those were some stressful times because we never had enough time. We were always just rushing. So there's time pressure, there's communication pressure, there's like us both trying to get on the same page and everything. And it was stressful for a while.
Yeah.
I don't really know where I was going. Okay. Imposter syndrome.
So I think, like Evan was mentioning, I was one of the big factors in pushing to change our content. And I think a big reason for that was because of the imposter syndrome. I felt like I just felt like what we were putting out there, like it wasn't a true representation of who I was, you know, which sounds kind of like, I don't know, cheesy, but it just felt like not fully honest because like what we were doing was these very concise and controlled tutorials that didn't really show, like we would still like include some mistakes here and there, but I just felt like I was presenting myself as like way more skilled than I actually was. And so we gradually, that was one of the many, many reasons that we gradually started changing it from like a step-by-step thing to a like, hey, we're going to try this thing and we may not know what we're doing fully and we're just going to figure it out. And when we started presenting things like that, I got way more comfortable just kind of like admitting that I don't know how to do stuff or saying like Evan, can you help me with this? Like
there's also like in the edit. Few incidents. Like we actually took down a video or privated a video where we used push sticks wrong because we were making an instructional video and we showed something wrong and we didn't want someone to copy us.
Yeah. So
and
we
that,
took it down.
That like, you know, making an instructional, like I like Caitlin brought it up, but I was 100% on board, and we found a shared vision with where to go, and we've been pursuing that shared vision. But there's like Caitlin said, there's a bajillion reasons why. But also, when you're making an instructional video, you really want to get things right.
And like, there's a perception, and I've heard like a lot of other makers talk about this. There's a perception that if you're doing an instructional video, and you're putting it on the internet, especially if you have a you know, decent sized audience, there's a perception that you have some sort of authority on the matter and yeah. like know what you're saying. And even though I do think there are some things that we can like, we do have knowledge in, and we like could do instructional videos on pretty confidently, yeah. I still don't want to do that.
But also it's like there's only so much that you can have a mastery of.
Yeah, you know, and we just wanted to be jacks of all trades instead of masters of none because yeah. we get bored easily and we like to mix it up.
Yeah, but also, oh wait, jacks of all trade versus masters of none.
Jacks of all trade versus masters of one.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that. But also it's like, if we were going to make instructional videos on all these things, we'd have to like learn it and then teach it, which was yeah. missing, like so inefficient for our time. And we knew that yeah. time was always going to be limited. So we like sharing the learning, sharing the growth. And also, I think that it's almost more of a powerful message saying, we don't know exactly what we're doing. We're going to figure it out as we go. We'll make mistakes. And we'll get to someplace pretty good most of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that message more than, look at us, we are experts.
Yeah.
And that is a good message for some people who are experts.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, we're experts. Let me show you my expertise and demonstrate it. And that's really cool. But that's not us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not really our style. But I do think making that change was one of the biggest factors that like relieved my imposter syndrome, because I do feel like someone that, you know, has some skills but definitely doesn't know everything. And I feel like I can, like, there's room in our video editing style to show that and yeah. like be honest about it, rather than like back when we were doing 3 to 5 minute videos that were just very concise steps. There's no room for that added like nuance. And so I felt like I like wasn't being truly representative of
the nuanced situation.
Yeah.
Man, when I watch our old videos, they were so short.
So short. They were so wow. short. Yeah.
We only had like one song. They're super short. And they still had some fun personality. I still like them. I still, like, I'm proud of how they turned out.
I've got like 30 songs in one video now. I'm not even joking. It's like 20 to 30 songs per video. But yeah, I think that was a pretty big factor. I think another thing is, like, now that we have these other outlets like the podcast and streaming and, you know, we just have more ways to talk with you guys. You know, we have like Patreon now, all these things that we didn't have in the very beginning. I think, like, we've been able to communicate more and kind of share our actual real experiences and share, like, from the business side of things, like what we do. Like, we've talked about how, like, because we're trying to be efficient, sometimes we'll film a little bit where we each sand a little bit and then I'll say, cool, I'm going to go edit, and Evan finishes the sanding.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, I would have felt was being misleading before. I would have been like, oh man, I feel really bad that, like, we're each getting equal time on the video showing us sanding, but, like, it's 90% Evan. And now, because we have these other ways to, like, talk to you guys about the behind the scenes stuff, I don't feel like it's being misleading anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
One thing that's interesting, kind of side pivoting towards imposter syndrome in another circumstance, when we gave our first talk.
Oh man.
I felt nervous, but I didn't actually feel imposter syndrome because we were talking about something that we did really have some expertise in. Our very first talk was how to start, grow, and monetize a YouTube channel, right?
Yeah. I think we were able to tailor it to something that worked with us being a new channel, because we were a pretty new channel. We were a year old.
Somewhere around there.
We were like 40,000 subs, 30,000 subs.
Yeah.
So still a pretty new channel, giving a talk at a conference. But yeah, because we tailored it to work with that and be true to that, I was nervous, but not in a imposter syndrome kind of way.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But it is kind of parallel. It's like changing our content to match
the truth.
What we are.
Yeah, our inner truth.
Our inner truth of just being goofuses. I see some parallels between those.
Yeah, there is definitely a difference between imposter syndrome and being nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that seems like a fairly obvious statement to say, but
imposter syndrome is very specific.
Imposter syndrome is mainly like, is it about feeling like you're misrepresenting yourself? Imposter syndrome.
It's kind of like feeling like people view you in a way that is, like, maybe greater than you would view yourself. Like, people see you as being, like, more awesome than you think you are or something, you know, just to put it in simple terms. Or more skilled, or more having more authority, or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Feeling like how people view you isn't matching up with how you view it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, you probably felt it a little bit just, you know, being an authority, or, like, not being an authority, but, like, presenting things in a, like, here's how to do this project. When we had, like, maybe just figured out and we didn't really know if it was the best way or not.
Honestly,
no.
Honestly, the thinking back a little bit on my life, and maybe if I thought even more, I probably should have thought more before the podcast, but thinking back on my life some, the time I felt most like an imposter in a way is actually at my old job as an engineer, doing engineering things. Like I'd always thought I was going to do, like I'd always planned. You'd think that I'd just fit right in and I wouldn't have any problems with that. But because I wasn't in control of what I was working on, what I was presenting on and stuff like that, I was pushed into situations that I wasn't fully comfortable with, like developing a product too fast, perhaps, or presenting on something that wasn't fully finished or what have you, just because of the pressures of business, because of all these various businessy like reasons. I mean, you know, the business typical reasons. The typical business reason stuff. I felt like I was misrepresenting myself or my work or the truth of the situation. And I think that's where I actually felt the most. Imposter syndrome might be a strange word, but yeah, like a little bit like I was lying about the situation in a way.
Yeah, and I think that kind of fits imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I've definitely like gone into meetings where I definitely didn't feel the most confident in what I was saying.
Yeah. I remember when I first started freelancing. It's like when you start doing graphic design, a very important thing is having a portfolio of your work. And if you haven't had any clients, you don't have a portfolio. So it's like you kind of have to just do mock-ups of examples of things you could do. And I remember like showing off some of my mock-ups, and I'm like, this is just something I made up. It was for a real company. But it's like, you gotta like start showing some examples somewhere, and then you gradually replace it with like,
yeah, but in a way, you were never like really falsely representing those. Not really. No, yeah.
It was still like a design I did.
Yeah.
But it was like, here's an example of some like types of flyers I could design. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
This is another strange question.
Yeah.
Imposter syndrome. We are YouTubers.
Yeah.
When we have been hanging out with other large YouTubers, did you ever feel an imposter syndrome there? Like, I think the very first time, the biggest imbalance in subscribers we ever experienced was when we were hanging out with Threadbanger.
Okay. Well, they were like 4 million subs, and we were at like 40,000.
Something like that. I'm not sure if we told that story.
We haven't.
We've told that story almost anywhere.
Yeah, we posted a picture a really long time ago. Really long time ago. We hung out with Robin Curran and Johnny Brook, Crafted Workshop. Mm-hmm. We were doing a collab with him. And he knew them, and so we all hung out one night. I didn't really feel like imposter syndrome, though, because like we were just
hanging out.
Hanging out. We just like went out to a bar and hung out and
there was no like...
It wasn't like we were... You know what I felt more imposter syndrome?
Huh.
Like, at being at an event with other YouTubers, actually, was we went to this one called STAFTA in Austin with some other, like, maker YouTubers. Our friend April Wilkerson invited us. And, you know, we're walking around talking to different companies, trying to, like, you know, pitch our brand, try to get them to sponsor us. And it was the type of event where, like, they... There was like 4 YouTubers at the whole event.
Yeah.
Or 5, 6, whatever. It was not like a YouTube heavy event. And so the people we were pitching it to were very much like, huh? But like April would go up and do these pitches, and she was so confident. She had her numbers ready. She was like,
and she had impressive numbers.
Yeah. And she was like, this is what I can offer you, and this is what you're going to get in return, and this is what I expect, you know, and I'd love to work with you. And I was like, dang. She is so good at like pitching her channel and like doing business stuff. And like, I feel like we learned a lot on that trip, and we got to her like we were very comfortable talking with companies, but like in that moment I was like, man, I compared to her, I feel very underprepared to like pitch her channel to sponsors. We were a lot smaller also.
So really a lot of imposter syndrome is when you compare yourself to others.
Yeah.
Or if you feel like you're falsely representing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are like 2 causes.
Yeah.
Comparison and lies. Yeah. But yeah, I think that I'm glad we're talking about it now. And I'm glad that things are a lot better. I'm glad that things are at a much better place, because where we're at now and the videos we're making right now, I feel so like right about them. I feel so natural about like things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I do too. I feel like things like are, you know, an accurate representation of us and what we do. Like even with the last video, the mini arcade charger, it was like we very clearly, like I kind of took on the like design and the painting. You took on like the 3D printing, 3D modeling.
Yep.
And like, I didn't feel like we needed to like balance things like purposefully or try to like, oh, well, it looks like I'm not doing enough. Maybe I should take on some extra sanding. It was like, no, it's fine. Like, you know, these are the things that we each did. And this is just how the video is and how it was made. And like, I don't know. I just don't really like think about it so much now.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, like, it was just something I was a lot more conscious of. But now that our videos are filmed much more just like real time, you're hanging out with us as we go, not so much pre-planned shots, because it used to be a lot of pre-planned shots. It's just something I don't really think about too much anymore, which is good. And I think, like, I'm sure that so many other people out there, you know, doing similar things to what we do, or just in life in general, feel imposter syndrome. Like, it's not something unique to us.
Yeah.
And I do think there's like comfort in that. It's kind of like, you know, when you become an adult and you're like, wow, I'm an adult now and I don't know what I'm doing. And then you realize, wow, none of the other adults know what they're doing too. Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. It's kind of like that.
I totally agree with that. While you're in the middle of that sentence, I thought of something like really very interesting that I want to talk about. No, but like, do you have anything more about topic?
Okay.
The term artist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. It's a loaded term. My gosh. Okay. I was thinking about other times I might have felt imposter syndrome. As an artist? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, doing our YouTube videos, making stuff. I do feel confident with that. But defining myself as an artist, I feel weird about it. I have done art. I like doing art. But the term artist is very loaded and strange. And
that's
there's
so
a
true.
Lot of like feelings around that, I think, for all artists. And like what art is and like...
Because it's so subjective.
It's so
like,
subjective.
You could be like, okay, you put multiple pieces of wood together and made a new thing. You're a woodworker.
Yes.
But it's like, you could swipe some black paint across a white canvas and be like, I'm an artist. Or you can do like a Bob Ross style landscape and say, I'm an artist. Or you can like sculpt something out of earwax and say, I'm an artist. But like, there's many different ways to define what art is.
But also, it's like, what if like someone like accurately recreates a photo using paint? You know, it's like, that's obviously an artist, but like everyone has a different feeling for what an artist is. And I feel like a lot of artists have lots of reservations about labeling themselves artists. And I think it is a lot because of the imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that both of us have kind of dealt with. I know personally, man, when I go on DeviantArt, I just sometimes get depressed.
I don't go on DeviantArt anymore. I used to a lot, and I would always get depressed because there's so many people better than me. For context, both of us did art in high school and college. Like, Evan painted a lot. I drew mostly. I didn't really start painting until later.
Being an artist is still part of my identity, and I do identify as an artist, but I do still have mixed feelings about it.
Like, the word artist doesn't have any, like, negative connotations to me, but saying it about myself is just proof that I feel imposter syndrome about it, because like art.
Yeah. You're so much more of an artist than I am.
Yeah, but like, but that word just makes me uncomfortable when it's being used to like refer to myself. And because it's like, I don't know, it's like I do some art sometimes.
I think because artist is a noun with a lot of like a noun and an adjective with a lot of mixed things going on for it, you know, I mean, because an artist is just a person that does art, but also an artist can be someone where that's their profession.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with an engineer, it's like,
yeah, there's a more clear line. But also someone who's very skilled at a specific thing could be described as an artist. And so like the word artist also has this like overlap with like being very professional in some ways. It's like someone who, I wish I could remember the name of his channel, but that guy that does the like jewelry videos.
Oh yeah.
He makes jewelry and it's just so good. It is art, but it is also like a very skilled craft. And you're like, that man is an artist.
Yeah.
You know, but there's like a certain level of prestige associated with the name. It's not just a person who does art.
It's almost like there should be like, artist should be two different words. Like, the casual, like, casual artist, and then like professional and then artist.
Artiste. There's artist and then artiste.
Yeah. I think that's maybe the reason why there's so much mixed emotion about it. Because artist can mean this thing that's way up here, and you feel like you're here, even though you're an artist too. It's like the same word is being used for two different things. And they are different.
But interestingly, you could apply that to making too. You could be like, I'm a maker, and like maybe your skill's up here, but maybe your skill's down here, but you feel like you can't say you're a maker because you're not as much of a maker as the people way up here.
I think that it's at a different level though, because maker is still like this nitty gritty like community that's come together around making, which I think is awesome.
You can say that because you didn't feel imposter syndrome about it, but I did.
But I think that there's the maker community is a little bit more welcoming and smaller and more a little bit more.
I will say that, but there is still a little bit of a stigma in the maker community about being crafty, a things. Crafter, being too crafty, being too like DIY. Like anyone in the maker community, and we kind of laugh about it too, is going to look at something like a lot of like 5-minute craft stuff, and of course a lot of it's because it's just dumb.
Yeah,
but it's also that, you know, there's just like a little bit of a stigma against things that are crafty, as not that they are bad, but like they're not making.
Yeah, but also I think that there's another aspect of it is the word artist worldwide. Everyone knows what an artist is.
Yeah, everyone I know maker is like a newer term.
Yes, a newer term.
So but it's I still think that some of the same things apply. And you can't argue with me because I'm the one that feel it. And it's about what I feel in my heart. And you can't tell me I feel something that I don't feel.
I'm not arguing. You are correct within your own heart.
Thank you.
I validate you, Caitlin. You are validated.
Thank you. No, now that I've been validated, should we move on to our thing of the week?
Yeah, let's move on to the thing of the week. And I've been playing with it the whole time.
I know. Let me, we got to pause for the music.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, music played.
So the thing of the week is something that someone made for us and we got in the mail, and I'm treating very respectfully.
Yes,
back here,
dropping pieces. These were very painstakingly made. So our thing of the week, should it be the thing or the video? Both.
The video.
It's a thing and a video, and it is. So we had someone, a fellow YouTuber,
and fellow maker and artist,
who. We've seen his comments pop up on our videos for a long time. So when he reached out, I recognized his username. But the guy that reached out, his name is Tyler, and his channel that he runs with his brother Connor is called The Random Bros. And they have all sorts of types of videos on their channel. It truly is random stuff. But they made us, Tyler made us these little, it's so cute, these Evan and Caitlin themed chess pieces and a chessboard. They're all 3D printed. Like everything has
meaning.
It's so
everything.
Thoughtful and has meaning. So there's a googly eye piece. There's a geode piece. There's tool pieces. My favorite is the little jube, which has like tan thread wrapped around it to look like
so
a little scratching post.
Yep.
Is that the rook? I'm I don't know how to play chess, so Evan's gonna have to teach me in honor.
This is the rook.
I was gonna say I thought the rook was the
Yeah, rook is the geode. Yeah, you're right.
There's a Minecraft block.
Yeah, the castle is a Minecraft block, and on one side it has E and on one side it has K. The king is an E screwdriver. The queen is a K.
On a saw. The pawn is a googly eye.
Yeah.
Do we go through everything? I've been talking about them, so I forget which ones we mentioned.
Yeah, but they're so cute. And it was a really, really cute video that they put together.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate it.
Yeah. We really appreciate it. The video is really funny. Tyler's in high school and made these, and like I'm just super impressed by the creativity that went into them. So we'll put a link to their video. It's really funny. It's a, you know, short little quick video. You should definitely go check it out.
Yep.
Again, channel is The Random Bros, and we'll have a link. Thank you, Tyler.
These are awesome. Thank you guys. And I think that wraps it up.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching and and or listening. We appreciate you guys spending your time with us. We hope you're having a wonderful day, and we look forward to seeing you in the next podcast. Bye.